A change of pace and a shout out to all our listeners who might live in the suburb of Menora, the centre of our suburban focus this morning.
Yeah, that's right. And this came about, we were just talking to the CEO out there at Bethany. They've got a brand new service department there in the suburb of Menora near Yokine Reserve. We want to talk to you about what you know about Menora. To me, I liken it to the suburb where I have a house called in Lath Lane, right? Lath Lane and Menora to me are very similar in many ways because they're tucked away suburbs that people often don't really know about, and they don't even know exactly where they are. So we want to get to the bottom of what makes Menora famous, and Paul Collins is on the line. He's the president of the Mount Lawley Society. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Now, Paul, what is it that makes Menora famous out there in the Mount Lawley Society's eyes?
Well, you're right. It's not heard of very much, but tens of thousands of people drive right through it each day. And they'd be very familiar, your listeners, with the grand Gatsby-style residences on Alexander Drive, just north of Walcott Street. Fitzgerald changing its name into Alexander Drive at that intersection.
That's where you get close to the university there, Edith Cowan.
Correct. Yeah. And the most famous of those homes, number 19 to 21, Alexander Drive, is the Brettler home. Who were the founders of Betts and Betts.
Right. Is that the big white one that looks like a palace or a castle?
Yes, yeah, it does. And built by Horace Costello in the 1930s in the Art Deco style. Horace himself lived in Dalkeith and built a number of Art Deco homes throughout Perth. And that was one of them there in Alexander Drive. But Alexander Drive is a dissection of Menora, and the creation of Alexander Drive is very interesting. Yeah. It was created by the government acquiring that strip of land so that they could move some night carts, and or as we call them, the night soil, the pans that used to be collected from the inner city residents of Perth through the laneways. There was no septic tanks in those days. It was into a pan and then into the night cart.
Right.
And then for many years, it was at the corner of Charles Street and Vincent Street. But the residents there at the bottom of Beattie Park didn't like the smell.
Yeah.
And so they said, let's, you know, go and chuck it up over the hill. And so they did. And today on Edith Cowan University, is the former night cart dump.
Yeah.
And that was created for that. In fact, it led to one of Perth's interesting battles known as the Battle of Learoyd Street,
okay,
where you'll find on our Mount Lawley Society's webpage photographs of former World War I diggers digging trenches, stopping the night carts making their way up Learoyd Street to this dump.
Standoff.
Those people that are overlooking Romstone Reserve in Grand Homes today might well remember that 80 years ago, it would have been a very smelly place.
That's an interesting little bit of history about the local area. I had no idea, and I drive past that stretch of Alexander to get home every day.
Mm, and the other interesting is that Learoyd Street was actually to connect to Walter Road in the north, but the creation of the Mount Lawley Golf Club put an end to that, and that's why Learoyd Street has those, what some might call today, quite ugly high-voltage power lines. And after Learoyd Street, they divert to Alexander Drive because Learoyd Street was to be the main connection before they decided to then use Alexander Drive.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, talking about Menora, call us if you live in the area, have lived in the area, or know something about the area that you'd like to celebrate or share with us for Suburban Focus today, 922 11882. Paul, stay with us. We've had a call from Kerry Wagnall. She's the president of the Alexander Park Tennis Club. I understand it's in Menora, and I've heard that this tennis club is highly revered on the pennant scene. Namely, my hubby reckons it's really nice. Kerry, hello.
Hello there, how are you?
Yeah, good. Is it true? Have you got one of the best tennis clubs in all of Perth?
Well, look, we've been very pleased to win the WA Club of the Year four times in the last 7 years. and we won the National Cup of the Year in 2015, and you can medal.
Fantastic.
Congratulations, Kerry. Thanks for coming on radio to brag about that. Now, but we hear that tennis players come all the way from Busselton and Mandurah to try their luck on the Menora tennis courts.
Well, we've actually got a really diverse range of members. So, yeah, they are coming from all over Perth to join the club. So we've got close to 600 members now, so quite a strong growing club with about 35 adult teams and 10 junior teams, strong coaching. So, yeah, there's lots of reasons to be travelling to come to the club.
29 degrees the top today, pretty good day to go out and have a hit of tennis. Who's the most famous product to come out of the Alexander Park Tennis Club?
Oh, that's an exciting and interesting question. I'm probably not the right person to answer that because it's actually got such a rich history. We've had lots of pretty famous people at the tennis club. But I would say these days our most important, or not important, everybody's important at the club. We like to celebrate everybody.
But the most successful player, perhaps?
Who's been around there and played on the court?
So we have two juniors who are under 18 champions and under 12 champions, two young Iacone family. But we also have a new state league team too. So we've got a couple of players who play on the national circuit, the Boucher brothers. So they're playing in our state league team at the moment. So, yeah, there's some very strong teams as well as, like I say, I think for us, our main focus, though, is more inclusion and something for everybody. That's what we've really won our awards for, having a diverse program across all levels.
Sounds good. Kerry Wagnall, president of the Alexander Park Tennis Club. Your reputation precedes you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
I want to talk to Paul Collins still, who's been kind enough to hold the line, president of the Mount Lawley Society. We're talking about Menora and asking our listeners to join in that conversation as well. What is it famous for? And if you live there, give us a buzz. Maybe there's a few hidden gems that we don't know about. Paul, I want to ask you about the road setup in Menora because when I first moved to Inglewood, I thought, oh, yeah, if I just cut through this suburb here, surely that'll shave some time off and I'll avoid some of those busier intersections. And then I found myself lost because the streets don't exactly work like a grid in some parts of Menora.
No, they don't. And in fact, the original Crown Grant is part of Swan Location Z, and that extends all the way down Walcott Street to the river. And then to the north, basically First Avenue and Bradford Street in a line to the river. And that rectangle is designed really from the railway line up to Dog Swamp Shopping Centre in a design we call the Garden City Movement. And that was established by Sir Ebenezer Howard, an English town planner in the late 19th century. And he wanted a refuge from the crowded, often unhealthy inner cities that existed at the time in various parts of England. And his Garden City Movement spread throughout the world. Coolbinia and Menora, Coolbinia is just immediately adjacent to Menora, are probably Perth's best examples. Because of that today, Menora itself is a heritage protection area, the whole suburb within the city of Stirling.
Right, and what came first? The streets that seem to resemble, from an aerial view, the menorah that the Jewish people used as part of their worship, or the suburb itself? Was it designed that way to reflect the Jewish community in the area?
The Jewish community in the area, I don't believe it was designed specifically for the Jewish community in the area. The first Jewish people that moved to the area, I think, was Rabbi Friedman, who moved to Clifton Crescent in 1913, and then a synagogue was built on Clifton Crescent.
Okay.
And then, consequently, Jewish people needed to live near the synagogue, and so there became a Jewish community in Mount Lawley itself, and then later spreading to the newer subdivisions of Menora. So whether it was by accident that the suburb of Menora from the air looks like a Jewish candelabra, Menora is the Jewish word for a candlestick, candelabra, and that's often displayed at festival times in their in the windows of Jewish homes, Jewish people's homes. But there was a cinema in Walcott Street called the Menorah Cinema, and it may well have been that the suburb was given that name. The name of Menorah, it was used to be Mount Lawley, it was the suburb. It shares the same postcode as Mount Lawley, and it was given the suburb name of Menorah in the 1950s.
Paul, your knowledge is extensive, and you know all this stuff because you are the president of the Mount Lawley Society. Does it come in handy at dinner parties?
Well, it comes in handy because I work in real estate, so that comes comes in handy. But I don't necessarily work in real estate in that location. I work in the CBD. But it really is a wonderful fascination. We have over 300 households that are members of the Mount Lawley Society, and our website, can I give an advert? MountLawleySociety.org.au is a wealth of information, and we cover the heritage protection areas. These are whole suburbs that are heritage protection areas of Mount Lawley, which itself has the largest Federation architecture intact of any suburb in Australia, and then Inglewood, which has a significant Californian bungalow architecture. If I could just quickly talk about the architecture in Menorah. Not only is it Art Deco, the homes there were built interwar and immediately post-war, but we've got you know, Spanish mission homes in the side streets, and we've got their austerity cottages on the edge. We've got interwar functionalist buildings that were popularised by the modern movement, and you see these type of modern 1950s homes and 40s homes through Menorah.
Amazing.
It's a wonderful suburb. It also has a restrictive covenant which prevents development to one dwelling only.
Yeah, okay. Paul, we are going to have to leave it there. Yeah. Obviously, you are a wealth of knowledge and some great examples of all kinds of architecture within that one pocket for us history buffs to go and check out. We really appreciate your time today. Paul Collins, President of the Mount Lawley Society. Thanks for being a part of Suburban Focus.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Paul. I'd buy a house off Paul. Very smart man. And I just love those little bits of information about the suburbs in which we might drive past, in which we might live, and in which we take great interest. 922-11-882, Suburban Focus. Where should we head next week? We can take a look and focus on your suburb if you want. Call it through. Nominate. Hey.